This is the Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri.
This week, we hear from Dr. Barbara Foreman, Professor of Education and Director of the Florida Center for Reading Research at Florida State University. She does research involving reading first and its impact in the state of Florida. Welcome, Dr. Foreman.
Hello, greetings.
We're glad to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in reading first, and maybe give us a little bit of background about what reading first was and how it was implemented in Florida.
Sure. Well, I hold a joint appointment here at Florida State as the Francis Epp Professor of Education and the Director of the Florida Center for Reading Research. And I came to Florida in 2006. Prior to that, I was the first Commissioner of Education Research at Institute for Education Sciences in Washington, D.C. And prior to that, I was in Texas for 28 years, first at University of Houston and then at University of Texas Houston Health Sciences. So actually, I was involved in Reading First in Texas before coming to Florida. And when I came to Florida in the fall of 2006, it was right in the middle of the implementation of Reading First in Florida. And so I took over my predecessor's job, Dr. Joe Torgerson, in carrying out the rest of Reading First in Florida. But in Texas, I was very much involved in on-the-ground work in the schools, but in Florida, the role of the Florida Center for Reading Research was to provide technical assistance, and the professional development was conducted by the College of Education at the University of Central Florida in Orlando. And then the group in the Florida Department of Education that coordinated the efforts is called Just Read Florida, and they we still work closely with them. In fact, we're in statute to help the state of Florida with their education needs.
Now, in your article, you say that the achievement gap did not close for ethnicity groups, economically disadvantaged students, or ELL students, but there was evidence of reduction in the achievement gap for students with LD.
In other words, everybody gained, and they gained about the same amount when you disaggregate those groups. But the one group that was particularly different was the group that's categorized under exceptional children education as the learning disabilities group. And there was a significant reduction in the in that categorization of LD. So, for example, there were reductions of 49% to 73% in the percentage of students in grades 1 to 3 identified with the LD label in the 5 years of Reading First in Florida.
So I know all the statistics have a lot of varied and nuanced information about different groups, but in general then, do you feel like it was successful in Florida?
Well, I do. I think that there's evidence that Reading First had a positive effect. If you can attribute it all to Reading First is a little difficult because a lot of districts in Florida implemented Reading First at the district level. So it went beyond just the Reading First schools that were funded. They adopted the practices district-wide.
So that's good.
So
makes it hard to measure, but it's good.
It is. That's it. It's hard to measure the effect. And we didn't really have a comparison group that we could use, and we couldn't really use regression discontinuity like the National Reading Impact Study because there wasn't a sort of definable criteria that we had available for who got funded and who didn't get funded. But you can still look at questions about the students who were in Reading First and whether each year there was an increasing number of students proficient, whether the achievement gap got closed, whether how mobility affected
Reading First. Yeah, I wonder if you could talk more about that, because certainly we live in a very mobile society.
Right, so so we were looking at the number of times that students moved from reading first schools.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really the student mobility question, not precisely a dosage question. It would be fascinating to study dosage, but you'd have to randomly assign students to different doses of reading first.
Uh-huh.
So we looked at student mobility. So we compared students who'd been in the same reading first school for 4 years, like, mm-hmm. you know, kindergarten through third grade, with those who had moved once, twice, or more than twice.
Hmm.
And we found that student mobility significantly reduced achievement outcomes at the end of both first and third grade.
Yeah.
And that when you controlled for socioeconomic differences, it reduced but did not eliminate these mobility effects.
So that might be a nice segue into, now that you've done this research, what would you tell parents?
Don't move.
Yeah, right.
I mean, this is part of a whole larger body of literature showing the negative effects of student mobility on mm-hmm. achievement outcomes.
Right, right.
In fact, in Texas, we actually worked with the Chamber of Commerce in one suburban district in Houston, because real estate groups were offering free rent to lure new renters.
Uh-huh.
And renters would come and they'd move their families there, and then after 1 month they'd move somewhere else to take advantage of another free rent opportunity.
Right.
So we talked them into moving the free rent to the last month that you're there, and it reduced mobility quite a bit.
Interesting.
So I think we as a society need to think about how to make students' educational experiences more consistent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what are the implications then, maybe a good segue, for teachers and principals and consistency and what reading first?
Well, some districts have actually gone to adopting materials across the district, because mm-hmm. often mobility is within a district.
Mm-hmm.
So if you move from school A to school B in a district, but they're using the same science book, for example, mm-hmm. it really helps with that kind of continuity and consistency.
Yeah, yeah. Other information you have for teachers and principals?
Well, we also, one of our research questions in this Reading First study was to look at what we called focus schools.
Yes.
These were schools that had no improvement in reading first during the last 2 years of the program.
And a lot of schools are currently faced with, you know, they've been implementing No Child Left Behind policies for 6 years and they're still not meeting annual.
Right. So this is like what they call now the turnaround school.
Right.
And so we actually visited those schools and observed in the classroom, filled out a report, gave them feedback, met with them, talked about what could be done differently. And actually we saw improvement relative to non-focus schools in first grade, and a greater percentage on grade level in second grade, and a reduction in high risk in third grade. So just visiting a school, observing, giving feedback, I mean, it takes the right kind of staff to do this.
Right.
That needs to be underscored.
It's right.
People who have been teachers before, have worked perhaps in high poverty settings where a lot of the turnaround schools are, who have a systems perspective, so they can appreciate what the principal needs to do when she needs to, you know, walk the halls, observe in classrooms. She needs to know enough about curriculum
mm-hmm.
in order to be able to plan school-wide for horizontal and vertical alignment of curriculum across the school.
Yeah.
And she's a super person, but she needs to know something about assessment, because if you don't inspect what you expect, as they say, then you shouldn't be surprised that assessment does nothing for improving instruction.
Now, Reading First was in many ways the result of decisions made by policymakers. What do you tell policymakers at this point?
Well, I was in Washington for a year, and
yes.
the interesting thing about Title I evaluations and other, like evaluations of Head Start, is that they show no benefits of these federal programs, no effects. In fact, that drug program, DARE, actually had negative effects, and yet these programs continue to be funded. So Reading First, even though its effects were minimal, restricted to decoding impacts in first grade, rather than comprehension outcomes in second grade, what I say to people is, hey, at least there's one significant effect to celebrate. I think my colleague Isabel Beck, in her commentary on from this special issue of Journal of Literacy Research, said, is glass half full or is it half empty? Or my colleague, I think you're going to be interviewing David Pearson.
Yes,
His title of his commentary is Reading First, Hard to Live With or Without.
Right, right.
So I think what we as policymakers need to do is figure out what we learned from Reading First and then build on that to answer the next pressing question. Mm-hmm. So the Institute of Education Science has just distributed over $100 million in grants mm-hmm. to universities to solve the reading comprehension problem.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky at FCRR to be the recipient of those grants. So now we're asking ourselves, what is it at age four with listening comprehension and oral language that translates to understanding of written comprehension later on?
Mm-hmm.
We know we solved the decoding problem. We have not solved the broader language issues relate to written language understanding.
Right, right. Well, we appreciate you being with us today, and we look forward to following up on your additional work in this area.
Thank you.
You can find Dr. Foreman's research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 42, Issue 1. This podcast is now available from iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Foreman. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.